I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You're winning a pair of tickets to go see the Capitals Tuesday, January 13th against Montreal. All fans in attendance are getting a Dylan Strome bobblehead to honor one of your favorite Caps on the ice. For the complete Cap schedule and for tickets to see the Caps, go to thefandc.com/events. Congrats to our winners today, and all week long we're going to see the Capitals. Speaking of winning, come on out to Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly. We've got some gift cards we're going to be giving out for the remainder of the program. One of our listeners who came out just asked me if we have the Guys, Guys, Guys song by Ron Rivera at our fingertips, and I said no, we don't normally, but our producer is always able to find the Guys, Guys, Guys song by Ron Rivera, and Darris Dameron has it queued up for us. So this is like a request.
It's a little bit of
I'm a bit of a DJ filling a request right now.
It's the all request line. It's the Throwback Thursday on a Friday here on 106.7 The Fan. I throw back to Guys, Guys, Guys atop the charts a handful of years ago when that boob Ron Rivera was in charge with a couple of his cronies, Marty, and also Marty. This is a great tune, guys. It's the Wayback Machine here. I'm a fan.
Well, you guys really want to go there, don't you? Guys, 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 guys,
everybody!
Guys, 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 guys,
everybody!
Guys, 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 guys.
So there you go. Guys, guys, guys,
guys.
Ron
guys,
Rivera.
Guys, guys.
Absolutely. Ron Rivera, one of the great composers, I believe, is what we'll call him.
Original artist, beautiful.
Performers, yeah. Yes. It was like his album, people sleep on how good his album was. Like, that was the single that made it. But I thought there were some deeper cuts there other than Guys, Guys, Guys that were actually really, really good.
It really does.
Yeah.
The biggest thing about it is that's a great cut.
I'm the guy who looked at the analytics, remember?
The piece of paper with the analytics on it for almost an hour in Indianapolis.
Analytics of football. All right, it is Beltway Blitz time. We're covering the college game, the NFL, and the Commanders. So let's get things started right now on the college gridiron. Scott Docterman of The Athletic will be joining us in just a moment to discuss the college game. Last night, fantastic. Miami, a 31-27 winner over Ole Miss. Back and forth, the two teams went down the stretch. Sets the table for a fantastic semifinal game tonight. Oregon and the favorites, the number one seed Indiana.
Yeah, two teams with a bit higher of a pedigree. Let's ask Scott Docterman about it. Scott, good afternoon. Thanks for the time here on a Friday. Let's go back in time first to last night. What did you think? What did you make of it? Miami now pretty much gets a home game for the Natty.
It's kind of incredible because when you consider Miami had, 41 minutes of time of possession, it looked to be the more dominant team in every facet, yet it came all the way down to the end, and you could say a missed pass interference call in the end zone could have given Ole Miss a relatively nice opportunity to pull out a victory. And I think what we saw was two teams on full display. Miami had all the talent in its direction. It had everything you think that would put it in the championship game, and it nearly blew it up because of all of these issues that have been attacking him over the years, coaching and what have you. So, other than that, I mean, it was a fantastic game, one of the best we've seen in recent college football history. And considering the stakes, this one will go down in the archives.
How has Miami done it? These three wins here, Ohio State and Ole Miss most recently, how have they gotten here?
Well, you look statistically and you look at their defense. I mean, this is an impressive unit. I mean, man for man, they're as talented as any team in the country. It's just at times they waned in the regular season. I mean, in losses to SMU and Louisville, who weren't bad teams. I mean, they both won 9 games, but there were times when you wondered, what is not clicking here? And this has been the case of Miami for years. But once they got into the tournament and you saw the way that they were able to compete and beat Texas A&M and Ole Miss, I mean, they were the better team in those games. But, the game against Ohio State is what surprised me. I mean, the Buckeyes did not play well. The Buckeyes should have been a pretty good matchup for Miami and yet fell apart in so many areas. But I think a lot of that was more or less that Miami was incredibly focused and played its best game of the year. So I think Miami, athletically certainly has a chance to match up in the next game, either against Indiana or Oregon, but I would not put them as the favorite despite playing at home.
Well, let's go to that Indiana-Oregon matchup. What can their first matchup tell us about this one, or is it just kind of wipe the slate clean?
I think it tells you that Indiana is a very seasoned and mentally tough team. Last year, you kind of wondered about that when they lost in the playoff to Notre Dame or on the road to Ohio State. This year, going to Oregon really shifted that competitiveness, the mindset of their own team and then everybody else's perception of them into saying that Indiana is more than capable of beating anybody anywhere. Going there, I mean, they won 30-20, but they also had a pick six that they threw. Fernando Mendoza did. And if, you don't want to remove a touchdown like that, but you do say that they were the more dominant team there. That said, you look at Oregon and how physical they are up front on offense. Everybody thinks they're a finesse team stylistically. However, they are a very physical line of scrimmage team, and I think they're capable of matching up. So I think you take a lot from that first game, but I think you also say, hey, if Oregon doesn't make those mistakes, Indiana plays a little bit more flawlessly. The game can go in any direction.
Are we watching a game tonight with Dante Moore of Oregon and Fernando Mendoza of Indiana, the quarterback matchup of the top two picks in this draft, and is number one on the line here?
It could be, very much so. I mean, I think, Mendoza, is definitely going to the NFL, but I think you look at Dante Moore and he's got kind of a decision to make. I think he could be number one. I think he could be number two in the draft. And do you give that up to come back? Because I think one more year of seasoning would certainly help him out, and with NIL he's got a chance to make maybe not the same as he would in the first round or in the upper first round, but he'd make a lot, and so he's got a decision to make, but I think it's going to be hard for him to turn it down. But I think when you're the Las Vegas Raiders, you've got to probably send your whole staff or your at least your evaluation staff, because you don't have a head coach, to Atlanta tonight to really evaluate both players, because both are going to be in the NFL. Both are probably going to be starting games next year.
Probably an impossible question to answer because of how fluid everything is in college football in terms of transfer portal money and just how much of a Wild West it is. But how sustainable is Indiana being a national power?
I think it's very sustainable now, because before, Indiana had the worst reputation in this sport. It was the losingest program in college football history up until mid-November. But now what you look at it is they have a great coach. They can import players. They have a system where they can pay. They have an alumni base that's the largest in the country. The Indiana University chain has more alumni than any other in the country, and you have influential donors like a Mark Cuban and others that are willing to pay. So Indiana, for all of us who remember them pre-2023 as this horrific football program, now if you're 16 years old, you don't remember that. All you're going to do is see them play and compete for national championships. So I think it's sustainable, whereas before They would never compete with Michigan or Ohio State for upper echelon players. They would rarely compete with teams like Iowa, Wisconsin, or Michigan State for the second tier guys in the Chicagoland. And it was this perpetual cycle. And then they didn't have the coaches who could hang with anybody in the Big Ten. Now they can do all of it. And so I think they are sustainable in competing for playoffs and potentially for national titles as long as Kirk Cignetti is employed there.
Scott Docterman of The Athletic, covering college football. Excellent as always. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
You got it. Let's talk about the Commanders live from Pupitella Pizza in Chantilly, where we're hanging out for a Football Friday until 6:30. Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports will help us to do just that. Mitch, let's start on the offensive side of the ball with the coordinating searches. What do we know about the interviews that they've had so far, and then what do you think their vision is in terms of McDaniel, Blau, and other options?
I'll start with, I like that they're spreading a wide berth in this coaching search. They're interviewing a lot of different folks. They interviewed a couple internal guys and started reaching out externally to some folks. Obviously, the hot name is Mike McDaniel, and to me, I think it's either him or David Blau are going to be one of the two guys. I kind of feel like Blau starting to get some interviews elsewhere puts a little pressure on this Commanders team to kind of make a decision on Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, even though Adam Peters says he's not involved in the coaches. We know he is, and I think that puts a little pressure on them to make a decision whether he's going to be their guy or not. And quite frankly, I think that's going to be an important part of this conversation.
Mitch, follow me here for a second. If Dan Quinn hires an OC who does a really good job, like a seasoned guy, let's call it the McDaniel tier, although he may stand alone, but bear with me. Hire someone like Mike McDaniel. He gets a head coaching job. We're doing this again. That's a risk. If Dan Quinn hires a neophyte who's never done it before that requires patience, that's a risk. Which is the greater risk to Dan Quinn and his regime/tenure here in Washington?
Well, obviously there are extenuating circumstances with it, but when they hired Cliff Kingsbury, everyone said the same thing, you know. If he has a good season, he's going to be gone. He went out and had a top-five offense for the first time in God knows how long, you know, for this burgundy and gold franchise, and he decided to stick around. You know, I think the appeal with Mike McDaniel is the relationship between him and Dan Quinn, that even if he goes out next season and does what maybe we hope or expect that he would do with Jaden Daniels in this offense, there's certainly a possibility that, you know, he could stick around, you know, longer than just one season. Either way, it's risky either way that he goes. And quite frankly, Dan Quinn has to make the right call, because if next season isn't a successful season, there's a good chance that Dan Quinn doesn't get to see season four. So he's got to weigh those risks and figure out what he thinks is best, because obviously we all know the NFL is a self-preservation league.
I'm not saying, I'm asking. All right, Mitch, I'm not saying.
He's saying, Mitch.
Oh, boy.
I'm not asking.
Oh, boy.
He's saying.
Cliff Kingsbury was not afforded the get-out-of-jail-free card after the NFC title game. That outside of Jaden, he may have been as responsible for Washington getting to as anybody in the building last year, right? Both coordinators are gone after that NFC title game. I mean, should there be any consideration? There's not going to be, I understand that. Should there be, with Harbaugh out there, with Stefanski out there, who knows, maybe Matt LaFleur or McDermott becomes available. They're just moving forward with Dan Quinn, and I totally get how and why. A year ago, they're in the NFC title game. Makes sense to me. But is it off the table to even ask that question as to Cliff didn't get that benefit of the doubt? Should there even have been a conversation?
Well, I think there's certainly a chance there was a conversation with Dan Quinn. Hey, if you don't make some moves with your coordinator staff, then we might have to make some bigger moves in terms of, you know, the decision to part ways with both of those guys. I think at this point, no, there's not necessarily a need to make a move with Dan Quinn, but I do think there's some very serious conversations that probably were had and need to continue to have about how, you know, this players first, you know, this brotherhood mentality is wonderful, but at the end of the day, you know, if you don't get your guys prepped and ready to go, you know, then it doesn't really matter how much the guys stay together, because winning a game in week 17 when you're out of the playoffs means nothing. I don't think this front office and ownership group is going to act the way the Dolphins did, you know, with McDaniel in terms of telling him they're going to keep him and then, you know, make a move. But certainly, you know, with the way that this season went and the way everything went down, I certainly think that it should have been on the table. And after a 5-12 season and the way that everything went, I think that, you know, that was probably a very real conversation within those doors in Ashburn. So, you know, I think at this point we're going to see Dan Quinn next year, and he gets year three, so we get to find out whether 12-5 was for real or 5-12 was real, and which kind of team and which kind of direction he's going to point this franchise.
Give me best case scenario home run. You're most excited. Who's the OC? Who's the DC? And then give me your realistic prediction. Like, you've got to get it right, or you're in big, big trouble.
If he gets either wrong, he might be in big, big trouble. But
Mitch Tischler, like, your best case scenario that you would love, and then what you realistically think is actually going to happen.
So Mike McDaniel, I think, is both my best option and my what I think is ultimately going to end up happening. I think that connection is just too much. And when you look at defensive coordinator, I think there's a lot of different ways that you can go. My dream would be Brian Flores. And I don't know if he's going to get a head coaching job this round with everything, you know, that's gone on in his past. And I think Washington can provide a little bit of an interesting pathway for him, because they can name him DC and an assistant head coach and give him kind of that little bit of a bump. And, you know, maybe, you know, he's able to do something there. And he looks at it in that way. Ideally, or ultimately, who I think they end up with defensively is just so up in the air. It's hard for me to really say. Jeff Ulrich is a name that I've liked a whole lot. I'd love to see him come here. You know, I don't know what's necessarily going to happen with him in Atlanta, with Atlanta denying him other opportunities. But that's where I'm at. Those are my names.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being doesn't matter at all, 10 being the most important thing by far and away, how much should Jaden's input here be? Like, he liked Cliff Kingsbury. I think that's obvious, right? But there's something to be said for him maybe not knowing what he doesn't know, because he's never had anything else at the NFL level. How important should that be in their next OC hiring?
I think it should be about a 6, 5.5, 6. Ultimately, you know, this locker room and this offensive group loves Cliff Kingsbury. We heard everybody talk about it. We heard Jaden talk about how much he liked him and, you know, the openness and all that. And ultimately, none of that really mattered to Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, whoever you think the decision maker was, and, you know, deciding to part ways with Cliff, whatever verbiage you want to use. I think the player should certainly like the guy coming in, but I don't think that his say should be the end all be all, because, like you said, at the end of the day, the only NFL offense he's run has been Cliff Kingsbury. So, you know, anything else is going to be him envisioning the way that the offense would run with him around him, and he doesn't have that history, the, you know, knowledge to kind of, you know, really influence that decision, a la, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, and, you know, those group of guys as they got older in their careers and kind of got to pick and choose who they worked with.
Mitch, thank you, buddy. Good info as always.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
See you, bud.
Check him out. Monumental Sports, Mitch Tischler. That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. By the way, this came out about 20 minutes ago. Mike McDaniel is going to be interviewing for the Tennessee Titans head coaching job next Wednesday. So this was one of the things I was bringing up earlier. Not only could he get a head coaching job, he's going to interview for multiple of them. But that's the first interview that he's kind of – I think there are others that he's going to have. But that's on the books for next week is next Wednesday. So if you're going to do the Mike McDaniel thing –
that's 5 days from now. You got to wait for that.
You're just buckling up for the next few weeks to wait this thing out. And in the meantime – are you not allowing David Blau to take interviews in Detroit? Can you even block him from a climb up with play calling duties in Detroit? I don't know how that works. I'll have to dig on that a little bit. But next Wednesday, the interview for McDaniel with the Titans, who went 35-33 with 2 playoff appearances as the head coach in Miami. I feel like that'd be a good hire for the Titans. Cam Ward is your quarterback.
That'd be the idea.
1-1.
Right. Like, I don't know that he's an over-the-top guy. I don't know if he's a, you know, you're building a Super Bowl there. But if the responsibility is, please make Cam Ward a thing, that you couldn't find many better guys than Mike McDaniel.
Let me ask you this. Who would you rather have as your head coach? Because I think they're polar opposites. Like, leader of men, brotherhood, Dan Quinn, or savant offensive mind, nerd play caller, Mike McDaniel.
For Tennessee?
For Washington.
Oh, for Washington?
Like, my answer. I would rather have Mike McDaniel as my head coach because I want a play caller who's an offensive savant.
Yes, we're not doing this OC thing every couple of years. I think I'd probably do that.
You'd have him over Dan Quinn.
I would.
Yeah. I just don't think it's a bad hire. If you have a young quarterback and you bring in McDaniel, I think that's an easy thing to sell. Now, if in 3 years they haven't made the playoffs, they don't have a winning record, he gets fired, the next time you hire him might be harder because it went badly in Miami with Tua, didn't work in Tennessee. But right now you've got a guy that I think made a lot of people better, and specifically Tua Tagovailoa. You've got someone who probably was held back by a very mediocre quarterback that he made better. What if he went to Miami and the guy they had just drafted was not Tua, I'm just making this up, but was like Justin Herbert, you know, who they took before Herbert was picked.
They took him before.
I think he probably still has a job.
You imagine Mike McDaniel with Herbert, by the way, down
That's
in
what I'm
Miami.
Saying.
Good
like,
Lord.
How much of his problems in Miami were just that you had a quarterback that you were never going to make fetch happen with?
I think a lot.
All right, next on Grant and Danny. You know what we aren't talking at all about is the defensive coordinator search. We're taking our eye off the ball a little bit there, which might
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get a Schneidered.
Who's Dillingham? Rob Dillingham?
There was a guard who we saw play. Is it Rob Dillingham?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Minnesota Timberwolves, great. When we were out there in Minnesota just a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely.
All right, Danny. We are not talking at all about the defensive coordinator search.
We are not.
I think the OC search is way more important, and that's kind of the prioritization for me. But I wonder if people agree with that. First, we can open up the phones on that, 800-636-1067. Is there anyone who can make the case that the DC hire is as important as the OC hire, or more important? Because I think Jaden Daniels is more involved on the OC one, and so I slam the book there closed, and I tell you, that's my argument. Good luck making yours. What do you think? I mean, is there a case to be made? The defense was where they were the most terrible.
Yeah, it was the worst unit. I mean, and it's been so for 2 years. Not only 2 years, but really for six.
But my argument
is, separate defensive head coaches.
Their defense wasn't very good in year one, and yep. Their offense was so good that it didn't matter. That's what they need to try to get back to. Now, I'm not suggesting they can be as terrible as they were on defense in the first two-thirds of the season, but I also don't know that that's the realistic outlook for next year, because as soon as Dan Quinn took over, started calling the plays, they became a much more normal level of bad defense. Like, the horrificness of the worst defense we'd seen in years, that went away when Joe Witt lost the play-calling duties. Dan Quinn had them at, I would guess, if you just take his time, I bet you they were fringe top 22, top 20, something like that.
And that's
like
kind of what we were looking for. But no one was saying be great, although that'd be awesome. It would be fun to be great. But really, go from being atrocious, which is exactly what they were last year, to regular bad. Just be 20th. If you're that with the offense that we thought would be pretty good, you're going to win a bunch of games again and go back to the postseason. Turns out it didn't work that way.
Where are you at on and could you be okay with Dan Quinn calling his own plays?
I don't want that. I don't want that. And here's why. When he's tried to do both, it hasn't worked. And, you know, you look at his defensive numbers. When he's the defensive coordinator, good defenses. There are bona fides there. When he's the DC, go to Seattle, go to Dallas. Like, to me, it's that if you have a world-class 85 Bears, 2,000 Ravens, Legion of Boom Seahawks defense, you can be at the top of the league in a lot of things. Yards per play, pressures, turnovers, etc. If you're just a regular good defense, you got to give something up on occasion. And when he was in Dallas, he's like, you guys are going to get some yards. We're going to turn you over, though. We're going to get some interception. Here, there were no legs to the tripod. Not only did they give up a lot of rushing yards, not only did they give up a lot of passing yards, but they never created turnovers ever. When he's been the head coach and the defensive guy, it has not worked. I think that's why he wants to deputize it. That's column one. Column two, he can't do head coach mechanic stuff without calling the defense. They can't get timeouts right. He can't do play stuff. They are disorganized. They false start all the damn time. He needs to be on his P's and Q's in terms of game management. I don't think he can do both because he can barely do one.
So I don't want him calling the plays next year either, but it has way less to do with what I think he's capable of and way more to do that I think there's just too many good options. There's so many really good D coordinators available that it would be silly when you have an opening to not hire one of these guys. And it would take a lot off his plate. By the way, am I forgetting something? You said when he's done both, it's gone badly. When has he ever done both? I didn't think in Atlanta he ever did that.
So, yeah.
The only time he's ever done both was actually the second half of the season.
Was here.
And I actually think it went pretty well defensively.
So let me rephrase that, because you're right, just to call me on it, to clean that up. When he's been the head coach, he has not had good defenses.
Okay, yes,
right? Despite being a good defensive mind,
yes.
And you go, how – like, I remember thinking this with Rivera for so many years. Like, this is a defensive-minded person that came up through the league as a defender and then a defensive coordinator, et cetera. How can we have terrible defenses? And that's been the case in both of his head coaching stops.
Right. And the numbers on that are, I think, what I had seen at one point. When he is a defensive coordinator, his teams have always been in the top five. When he has been a head coach, his defenses had never been in the top 14. And the point is, basically, that as a head coach, either his coordinating choices weren't great or his involvement maybe wasn't enough. I don't know.
So I got the numbers right here. So forget about what's on the left side for a second. You could see a lot of single digits for some years and then a lot of double digits and big, 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 big numbers.
But what are you looking at here?
So this is his lifetime as a quote-unquote coach.
Yeah.
So the defensive coordinator years, excellent. Head coaching years, it's a lot of 19s
right.
through 20s and middle-of-the-pack type stuff at best.
What I'm intrigued by is – again, the names that are out there. Raheem Morris would be a very solid DC hire. That's something you get excited about. The guy I really want is Jeff Ulbrich, who's currently the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, they fired Raheem. But interestingly, I find this really curious, actually, they're not allowing him to do any interviews until they hire their head coach, because the report out of Atlanta right now is that they're going to recommend to the new head coach that they actually keep Jeff Ulbrich. Which is not the way you should be handling it. It's very old-school Redskin.
I was going to say, I've seen that call Jim Zorn one time.
It doesn't really make a lot of sense, but that would tell you that they're probably not hiring a defensive-minded head coach in Atlanta. But maybe, like, here's how I could make it work for me. If they go get Clint Kubiak, let's say, or Mike McDaniel as a possibility, and they hire one of those two guys, and then you have Ulbrich, that's actually a really, really good DC to pair with your offensive-minded young play-calling head coach. So that would actually be smart. But it's very strange that a team would keep a guy, not let him do other interviews when the staff has been blown out, and then tell the next head coach you should probably have him be your coordinator. That said, I like Ulbrich enough that I understand their thinking. He's my number one choice.
So on the defensive coordinator front, this is way different than the OC. Because the OC has, you know, a couple guys that are either, you know, former recent head coach that still might be in demand, think McDaniel. Disgraced former head coach. It's not in any danger of being a head coach, but kind of has some stink on him. Think table. Offensive minds, guys that haven't done it, or pass game coordinators or quarterbacks coaches that are going to get bumped up the rankings, right? The defensive coordinator spot might be an embarrassment of riches. Everyone from potentially Brian Flores doesn't get a head job to maybe Jim Schwartz, who I know interviewed with the Cleveland Browns. Guys like, you know, Vance Joseph, Jeff Hafley, Chris Shula, Lou Anaromo. I know he got ran out of Cincinnati, but turned in a pretty good year for the Colts. There are names. There are dudes like Jonathan Gannon, recent head coach. You already mentioned Raheem Morris.
But like Chris Shula, just as an example, one of those names, D coordinator of the Rams, he would leave as a head coach. He wouldn't leave L.A. to coordinate somewhere else because he's on a fast track for a head coaching job.
Right, but I was just thinking in terms of – yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's not as if he didn't have play calling duties there and would get it somewhere else. So forget about that name. But still, there are so many defensive coordinator names that aren't going to be in as much in demand – for head coaching gigs, just because that's nature. Everybody's looking at that offensive guy. Everyone's, you know, going to give McDaniel a chance immediately, right? Not so much maybe the defensive mind.
800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. 1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. You want to give us a shout, give us a call right now on this D-coordinator conversation that we're having. Is there a case to be made that hiring the defensive coordinator is as important as the offensive coordinator in this cycle? You're listening to The Fan.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back live to Chantilly's Pupatella Pizza location in the Chantilly Plaza right off Route 50. We're going to be out here until 6:30, so come on out, spend your happy hour with us, have dinner with us this evening. It has been a fun final field trip Friday. Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly, the Grant and Danny radio program. That is a good little marriage there. That is one that I have thoroughly enjoyed. Good relationship.
It's gone well for everybody. Never had to go to couples counseling. They don't even fight, not even in front of the kids. It's been great, man.
And the big boss came out today. We just got to meet Enzo.
Enzo.
Who is, I mean, the brains behind the operation.
He invented it.
He's like, you know what you need in the DMV? You need a little Neapolitan pizza situation. So why don't we just give you a masterclass in pizza and fried delicious appetizers,
yeah,
and then let's spread our wings to have 11 locations.
Not one, not two, 11. You don't luck
box. That's the dream.
Yeah, you don't luck box your way into 11. Tell you that right now. You got to know what you're about.
Question for you guys: is this DC hire? We've not talked a lot about it. Is there a case to be made that it is as critical as on the offensive side of the ball? 800-636-1067. Lou is out in Silver Spring. Wants to hop in on The Fan. Hey, Lou, how are you?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
My argument is that it is, I won't say more important, I'll say just as important. And my theory is that, you know, even if we have like a middling or slightly better than middling offense, and Dan Quinn as a defensive minded head coach has a defense for the third year in a row that is in the very bottom of the league, I say the whole thing gets, you know, we go 500 or a little less, the whole thing gets blown out again. And then Jaden's starting over with his second head coach and most likely his third offensive coordinator.
Well, thanks, to that guys. Point, that's a good phone call. Appreciate you making it. The thing I said after last year, as great as it was, and it was great, no, who had a better time? Now, how much fun was that, right? It wasn't fair and it wasn't long-term smart or sustainable to say, Jaden, do it all for us. Be a ball control quarterback that's also making huge heroic plays because we can't run the ball. We don't really have all that much in the passing game right now. It's you and Terry and, you know, catch and fall Zach Ertz. Just make all the plays and do everything and manage time of possession for us and putting too much on him. That requires the occasional favor from the defense. The occasional short field from one of those things where the other team has the ball, then you take it from them, known as a turnover. That never happens here with this group at all. The defense has done them damn near zero favors over a couple years. And even if you live that charm life, last year shouldn't have been 12-5. It should probably have been closer to 10-7. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. It was still a lot of fun. But the defense has to help you out at some point, to the caller's point. Make something easy once instead of it always being, all right, offense, here's a pair of chopsticks and some bubble gum. Do nuclear fusion on this drive.
32 teams in the league. The Commanders this year finished 30th in defense and yards per play, 6.02. They were dead last in yards per game, by the way. Now, that's not my metric that I use. I use per play because I think it's more telling and real. But 384.3 yards per game allowed was the most in the NFL by any team. That was the Commanders this season. And the yards per game, a little bit more difficult for them because of how they operated on offense, because of how Kliff called games, because of the tempo with which they operated. One of the reasons I think Kliff is probably out. But if you look at their rushing defense, it was 27th this year. If you look at their passing defense, it was dead last, 32nd in the NFL in yards per play this year. And if you comp all of those numbers to the caller's point with last season, it's not like it was that much better in some areas. I mean, they were 28th against the run, but they did finish, believe it or not, right smack dab in the middle of the league. In yards per play, 16th. Yards per game last year, they were 13th. I don't remember who would have thought that. You know, from 2024, they were 12th in passing and 28th against the run, and that was the big talking point. We got to get more physical. We got to get more capable up front of slowing down Saquon Barkley to beat the Eagles. But when they had an average defense, which was the year before last, and I didn't think of it that way anecdotally. I think of it as kind of subpar, but that's what the numbers say. They were an average defense. They got to the NFC Championship game. Now, their offense was way better, and an average defense this year wouldn't have gotten to the NFC Championship game, but I think the point stands. The caller saying you cannot be as bad as they were and not end up getting fired if you're Dan Quinn as a defensive-minded guy. Let's go to Bargov in Gaithersburg on G&D, wants to hop in. Bargov, thanks for the call. What's good?
Hello, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. So, yeah, I would say it's marginally less important, so still super crucial compared to OC. You know, nowadays a D coordinator, just a high degree of difficulty job. You have to balance and dance with so many contradictions in the modern NFL. You got to maximize talent. You got to have conviction. But then you also got to be adaptable and unpredictable at the same time. It's very tough, you know. So it's like as a married man, you know, we got to power wash the deck. We got to hang a painting, but we also got to fold laundry and create the perfect parfait with just a beautiful honey to yogurt ratio. So we gotta find a bear who also has, you know, has some honey as well. So that's all. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, dude. I like that.
Bargov's calls are
he's always got a wild ride of analogy.
It's like he's like a poet or something.
Yeah, there's always like some allegory, some sort of reference to like a literary work of the 1800s.
Yes.
Or like a Chaucer sort of thing. But I like it.
He's
like
got a little Dennis Miller to him. He's like, this is like in 1942 when the salmon of Capistrano. You know, and it's like, what is happening right now?
Makes about as much sense as going up the River Ganges with a toothpick and a slingshot, but there we are, babe. Yeah, but to the point, again, you can – do some real inroad here. You could do some real work here on the defensive coordinator spot. Offense, again, I think is hard to find and master, but this you could sort of enhance your rep here and maybe steal a game or two with a quality defensive upgrade just to be in the middle of the pack.
Well, if you hire a really good defensive coordinator, a floor-raising, okay, it's now going to be at worst, like pretty average-ish, you turn the chances into it being a really bad season around. You know what I mean? And that's what they're going to do. I don't worry as much about this hire. I think it's hard to screw this one up because there are so many good options, and it's a pretty good place to come. Now, I will say it's not as interesting a landing spot. Like if Raheem has a bunch of options, if Ulbrich has a bunch of options, you might just have to pay out the wazoo because you're coming into a building with a defensive-minded head coach who might have ways he likes to do things, who might involve himself in your business. And there is no Jaden Daniels here. They don't have an elite defensive player. There's no Max Crosby to work with. You know, you're looking for linebackers. You don't have edges. You need major work in the secondary. I don't even know who your selling point is in terms of a young star player. You could say, I got Daron Payne. And sometimes Javon Kinlaw makes impactful plays. Shtick aside, I mean, it's not an easy sell to get one of the top guys, but I just think there are so many of them out there that you throw some money at somebody, you're going to be able to.
And that's kind of the point, right, is there are enough – this is a buyer's market. You could throw a dart at a board with 10 defensive coordinator names, end up with a guy with some pelts on the wall that's got a pretty good rep. And if you tell them in the interview process, we don't need you to be top 5, top 10, even top 12. Get us to 17th. And that would be a godsend for this team, given where they've been.
I just got a tweet from KB who said, why have we never had a pre-field trip Pupatello weigh-in for Funny Danny and then weigh him after the event?
Here's why.
Someone just said that on site who had been watching him gorge himself since he got here.
And here's why. It is not an apples-to-apples weigh-in, because you weigh more at night than you do during the morning when you first wake up.
Right, but I swear to you, you would be up 6 pounds today.
And I would. But here's the thing. If I wasn't here and was just living normal, I'd be up about that.
Not six.
Almost.
I mean, that's not normal.
No, I'm, there's nothing normal about me.
I would say if you weigh yourself, like in the morning, if I get on a scale right out of the shower, as opposed to right before bed, you're like, oh, this was a rough day. That's 3.2 pounds or whatever. And then you wake up the next morning, you weigh yourself, you're right back down again. So
yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying today at Pupatello, you might be up like 9.5 pounds. That's all I'm saying.
Actually, yeah. That's probably right.
Like,
yeah.
We should – next year, let's remember to do this, or if there's another one we do at some point. I know this is our last field trip Friday.
So you want to do morning weigh-in, pre-Pupatello, and
yes,
after.
Yes, I want to see if you could gain, like, 5 pounds in a field trip.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I could do that.
How much weight did Danny gain at Pupatello?
Yeah, I would – see, but here's the thing. What you sleep on is we'd have to do a control where I did that in a normal day. Where I don't
sure,
eat.
Like, but we could do that. So you could
So I do it. So on an average
the two
day,
days before,
yeah, an average
see how
day.
Much you gain,
right?
And but again, that normally would be
for me. I'm not kidding. It's about 3 pounds,
which is a lot.
Yeah, but that's how that's my I'm a
sure.
I'm disgusting.
But
I'm
then
afraid.
If it's 3 pounds normally, then it really we could have like a 7.5 pounds.
This is where I was
field
going.
Trip.
So, but here's what I don't want is oh my god, 7.5 pounds! You disgusting swine.
Why don't you want that? You don't care about that.
No.
If you cared about that, you wouldn't have been doing what you've been doing.
No, you're missing it. But I want the number to be real. And then people go, you're a disgusting
swine. Well,
we're
a show of authenticity, if nothing else.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I want to give the people a real number. So,
I've still got some gift cards to give away, by the way. So as listeners come out, we're going to be giving away some gift cards. We've got the gift cards for you waiting off of Route 50 in Chantilly Plaza at Pupatello Pizza, your spot tonight for dinner. And for a little happy hour with the boys. They got some bourbon out here waiting on you. So come on out and kick it with us. We've got the Wizards press conference introducing Trae Young coming up at 6, a little over an hour from now. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.